This is Living the RV Dream, episode 300 for Friday, November 17th, 2023.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads, and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, coolie builders, car campers. I mean, I even follow a couple of YouTube channels that are just SUVs. And yeah, welcome to the show one last time. Once again, streaming live on YouTube. Next time, I'm going to try to stream live on several other platforms here. But today we have a special guest, which I'm going to introduce in a few seconds here. But I wanted to talk about episode 300 and how this all started. And it was, I forget the exact day, I just know it was a weekend in the spring of 2017. And John Huggins was the original host of the Living the RV Dream podcast. And it was one of the podcasts that I used to listen to religiously, you know, back probably in 2012, 2013, 2014, before I became, before we even bought Minitini One, the original. And, well, we attended one of their rallies, and he liked the video that I did. I did a video of them recording the podcast at this rally. And then, you know, they had some health issues. They had to stop RVing, so he wouldn't have as much content to provide. So he called me. I mean, he emailed me one day. He goes, how would you like to continue with the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I would love to. I mean, great, huge shoes to fill in. You know, these guys were one of the, if not the top RVing podcast at the time. And you know, I started doing the podcast. He didn't give me the podcast itself. He gave me the name, and he gave me, and eventually I got the website from him too. And he gave me the Facebook group that is at this point dormant. I'm just using my main Facebook group, and the rest is history. You know, I started it's a new podcast. I'm sure probably a lot of the original listeners to the podcast started following me, but of course it's a different format. He used to do more like how-tos and interviews and that kind of thing, and I'm more like, let me tell you about Everglades National Park. I believe that was episode one, the first one, and I enjoyed doing it. I of course I don't up until now I don't get as much feedback from you guys until now, because now we're streaming this live on YouTube, so I get instant feedback. But if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, check it out. It's on iTunes and anywhere that you can download regular podcasts. Now today we have a very special guest, and I think especially when I am here in South Florida, without not traveling all that much, you know, I'm gonna do mostly interviews and all that. And first, let me say hello to some of you here on the chat. We have Michelle Contreras from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are kind of overdue to go to Albuquerque, let me tell you. The RV DJ is here, our virtual bartender. Brandon Stargell says, congrats on 300 episodes. Has been a great companion to the YouTube channel. Thank you so much, Brandon. And I know you've been there from the beginning. Big Jim's Late, a.k.a. Santi Claus, says, hello, everyone from Chile, South Central Kansas. Chile up there, huh? Let me tell you, Tap Channel is here. Hi, Robert, so many live streams lately. Any change? Did I miss something? No, this is something extra. And actually, I've done this before, but I had a dedicated YouTube channel just for the podcast. And I decided to do everything on the same channel. And Adventures of Bill and Livy, his podcast. And of course, we met up a couple of years ago in Utah, in Salt Lake City. And before we get to our special guest, we have Armando Correa. Hi, Robert and Illy, on my lunch break and watching you. Thank you, brother. And of course, I've met Armando and his wife several times at the Hershey Irvy Show. Well, without further ado, here's our friend Gord, his YouTube channel, Trailer Traveling. YouTube, Instagram. Are you on TikTok? I don't know how many socials you have, but welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And congratulations on 300 episodes. That is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah. At the beginning, I didn't know exactly how many episodes we're going to end up doing because I had never done an audio-only podcast before, you know, just me talking endlessly. But, eventually 1 week goes after the other, and how many years has it been? Over 6 years, we made it to 300 episodes. I was optimistic. You know, when I number them on the website, I have 4 digits. So this is like 0, 300. So I have, you know, hopes to get to 999. So we have enough room to spare there.
It's a good way to motivate yourself.
Yeah, so Gord, tell our viewers who don't know who you are a little bit about yourself.
I am trailer traveling across all social media. We have a vlog, I would say similar to yours, but it's not anywhere near the production quality, but along that style where we take people along on our adventures. Our goal is to educate people who want to follow in our footsteps and go to the same places that we're going and give them some information and to entertain people who can't follow for whatever reason and just want to watch.
All right. So you do all that. Hold on. I'm pressing buttons here. So how did you start RVing? What did you camp before? Is this something you've done your whole life or?
I grew up in the bush in Northern Ontario, but it was more of a cottage. My wife camped quite a bit with her family, and we have 5 kids. And so when we wanted to start traveling, hotels were out of the question because it was going to be 2 hotel rooms everywhere we went. So trailers seemed to be the best solution.
How many kids did you say?
We have 5.
5, yeah. Everything could get expensive real quick with 5 kids, you know. Yeah. Try going to Disney World.
And eating out and then we traveled. That would have been actually like a lot of RVer stories out there. We lost my sister in 2010 and we were looking at buying something and that kind of pushed us over the edge. We bought our trailer. I mean, similar to you with the passing of your father, we bought our trailer a month after my sister passed and that was 2010. So unfortunately, I didn't find you until we purchased our latest trailer, which was in 2021. Yep. And it took them a month to deliver it to us. And so in that time, I was looking up YouTube videos. I didn't even realize there was a whole RV YouTube genre. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that was served up to me was Josh, the RV nerd, did a whole summary on our trailer. And then you were in the suggested video. It was your 3-hour video of your trip to Maine.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's one of those, one of the earlier trips. That's the trip when old Kia died. Yeah, absolutely. And it's sets of events like that, like a passing of a family member that you realize, you know, we don't have eternity on this earth. Yeah. And let's try to see and do as much as possible. You know, a lot of people wait for retirement and all that, but if we can start, you know, at least doing the weekender thing, like I did, it's so you have a travel trailer. What size? It's a bunk beds for travel with the family.
It's Shamrock 233S. So it is about tip to tail. It's about 22 feet, but it has 3 queen size tip outs.
Okay.
It has a U shaped dinette that's 72, so pretty big, and a pullover couch. So we can sleep 9 comfortably, 10 if you're really close. Mm-hmm. It's 5,000 pounds, so it's very easy to get anywhere I want to go.
10
so.
People on a 22 trailer to 20-foot trailer. You have
extended, from front to back fully extended, we're about 34 feet. So 34. I always have to book the site a little bigger than I need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still, you really have to like each other.
Yeah.
For sure. Or love each other. So you are in Canada, right?
I am, yes.
You are in Ottawa, which is the capital city.
Balmy 42 degrees today.
That's it. That's patio weather for you guys right now. No, not really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm sure it'll get colder. I was there back in 2013 before RVing, and at some point, if I ever do the Trans-Canada, you know, I would love to visit. And also the Quebec side, Hull, right? It's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hull is right.
Talking about, you know, I mean, to me, Canada and the United States are probably the most similar countries in the world when it comes to a lot of things, except the metric system. But any difference that you have found RVing in Canada versus the United States? Have you done much RVing in the United States on this side?
Yeah, we've done most of our RVing in the United States, actually. The pandemic kind of kept us in Canada, but
well, yeah.
And this year we're mostly staying in Canada. But the problem is you only have 2 months here where you can really get out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the campsites are packed. The provincial parks and the national parks, you have to start booking them in January. And so it's hard to stay here. It's the campsites are much more readily available in the States. You know, we haven't been to any of the national parks yet. We've been to a lot of national monuments and things like that, but none of the national parks yet. So that's our next goal.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was at Lake Louise Campground. That's in Banff National Park. Mm-hmm. And I had to reserve that a few days in advance, and it was tough getting a site. But
we did the lottery system with them. And the day that they released it, and I was 27,000th in line in the queue to book a site. So I was pretty happy that I got it.
Yeah, so I got very lucky, I guess, to be able to spend 2 nights there. I mean, they didn't have anything more than 2 nights. That place was packed. Any favorite place of yours in Canada where you like to... Because, you know, I'd like to go next year, next season. So any favorite spots that you would like to recommend?
We've been to Banff twice, and we're going back again. We're probably going to do that every 2 years. We're redoing the Maritimes this year. We did it in 2011, and so we're going to redo that. I know you're going around the Great Lakes, very likely.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see the most heavily populated spots in and around Toronto, Windsor. Very nice if you can get up around Tobermory in the Bruce Peninsula, especially if you like hiking. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I haven't been any further west than that because it's very remote.
Mm-hmm.
Between like Sault Ste. Marie, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Thunder Bay in Canada, it is a very long drive.
A very long drive, yeah, I suppose. But then you make the long drive to Banff every other year, and that's a pretty long drive. Or do you fly there and rent?
Yeah. The first time we flew and we rented a car and stayed in hotels. And the second time we went, we rented a 32-foot Jayco Class C that held 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think next time we're going to go a little bit smaller and maybe get a couple of small Super Bs or a small C.
Cool. I saw a lot of those rentals when I was in Canada. Any your favorite place in the United States that if you could pick one?
Because we had the kids, we did a lot of beaches, and I have to say we've been to Wildwood probably six times. So South Jersey is some of the nicest beaches outside of Florida. So,
Well, I definitely have to go back there because I happened to go, when I went there, I happened to go at the deadest, you know, season, you know, after the season, and you know, when you live in Florida. And we're seasonal too, but you don't realize how seasonal some places up north can be. You know, when I was in New England, you know, they started shutting down campgrounds like behind me. You know, I had to kind of make a beeline south because I couldn't find any places to stay. So, I definitely have to go back to the Jersey Shore and maybe hang out with our virtual bartender, which is from there.
He's not far.
Now, controversial question. Any place that didn't quite live up to the hype in Europe?
I've been to Cape Cod twice. And not my favorite place. This time we went to Martha's Vineyard, which the ferry with just the pickup truck was a crazy price. But the beaches at Cape Cod are very rocky. It's a lot of gravel. It's not the nice white sand there, or like it's not Destin. It's not New Jersey, and the roads are very narrow. We stayed at the campsite both times close to the mainland, and we see people pulling fifth wheels on these tight country roads. And
yeah, that's my fear. Anywhere in the older part of North America, you know, the roads tend to be narrow. You may encounter an 11-foot bridge, you know, that you may not fit under. So that's happened to me a couple of times as far west as Ohio. And one last thing, what's your future travel plans for next season? Do you have any, or this winter, are you coming down to the south this winter, or any future plans for traveling in the...
We might do the Tampa RV show. My parents are on their way to Tampa right now for the winter. They're snowbirds, so we might go down and see them and take up the show while we're there. I use Road Trippers for planning, and there's all kinds of things packed away in there that are ready to go at a moment's notice. But definitely the Maritimes this summer, and then the rest of it is we were supposed to do Destin this year. We were supposed to do Yellowstone this year. And I think both of those are on hold for the moment. So,
Well, you should see my list. Actually, today I was working on a list. I called it bucket list, for lack of a better word. You know, like, but all the places, or I might talk about it on the next episode of the podcast. But you know, because I keep adding stuff to the plan, and the year only has so many months. So, I'd like to ask the audience if anybody has any questions for Gord here. And if you want to come on the live stream as well, you know, I just posted a link in the chat, so you can do that. I'm drawing a blank here. What apps do you use, like, to find the campgrounds, for example? That's something that I always like to learn, because it has changed over the years, like the main ones.
I don't do Serendipity because I'm a weekend warrior. I have to have everything planned out, and we book everything in advance and months in advance. I am a fan of KOA, not for the prices, but definitely convenience, especially if we're just doing an overnight. Mm-hmm. We're far from everything, so we overnight a lot. On our way to Cape Cod, we stopped in Queechy Gorge. KOA there was fantastic, but it was about $80 US a night. So we didn't even unhitch. So that was an expensive place to sleep. And with tip outs, we can't really sleep in a Walmart parking lot. I mean, I do it if I'm alone or if it's just me and Ghislaine, my wife, because we can sleep on the couch or the dining table. But I don't want to be sleeping in a tent in a parking lot at Walmart or Cracker Barrel. So
yeah, I suppose safety would be an issue there. And you know, that's one of the reasons why at some point I would love to have a camper van or something like that. That, you know, I could probably stealth camp pretty much anywhere.
Okay, like that with the Class C, where you could just sneak in, like you don't even have to go outside. So I felt very safe in that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if something happens, if you hear a noise, you know, you're a couple of steps away from that ignition, and you go over. Okay, I'm going to welcome to the stage here our friend Alex, Mr. CLT. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Hi, Alex.
So I had a quick question on your rig. What are your pros and cons?
It is like sleeping in a tent. So safety was one thing that we were just talking about. We did the Outer Banks last year, and it was over 100 degrees every day. So we had to close the ends every day because the air conditioner just can't keep up.
Any wildlife interactions while that?
No, nothing. But like Robert said, the campsites in Banff, we wouldn't be able to take that unit. They do have one soft side campground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they recommend hard side, and they have an electric fence on the soft side campground. But I don't want to be a taco for a bear. So.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of this
sounds
camp,
like an adventure.
A lot of these campgrounds, if you have a pop-up like that, you know, they make you, they have like boxes where you can store like food items, anything that smells, you know, and that's, that can be inconvenient. Any plans to upgrade at some point?
Thanks, Alex.
Any plans to upgrade at some point to a hard-sided or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're actually looking at getting something very small and leaving it out west because now the kids, well, they're adults now. They've more or less stopped traveling with us. They'll still come on holidays and things, but Glenn and I want to see the west. We want to see Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon and everything. So something small that we can just leave out there and fly to it. So.
Very nice. Guys, I'm going to let you go. I'm sure there's other people that might want to join. So thank you for answering the question. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Alex. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was great. We have Jason, our friend Jason Bergeron, in the stream. We harvest host for overnights. Have you done have a harvest host, Gord, at all?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet. We're getting a membership next year for a little extra serendipity, but everyone's telling us that that's getting hard to book as well.
A harvest host, you know, it's had its up and downs for me. And the last trip that we were on, I was one disappointment away from canceling my membership because sometimes it is hard to get the reservation, but sometimes they just don't answer, yes or no. Sometimes you have to call, and then it happened to me. You get somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, and they say, yeah, welcome, come hungry, we're great. And you arrive to the place, and they're having a festival, the parking lot is full, and then you have to look for a plan B, like, last minute. So that's that being said, I mean, it's not that much money, and they do offer a lot of, opportunities to stay at some marvelous places that we've stayed at, so... That's pretty cool. Well, anybody else in the chat has any questions or anything like that? If not, we're going to start wrapping this one up. It's been a pleasure to have Gord here on the live stream.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
And once again, where can people find you and online?
We are at Trailer Traveling. There's no G on that. It's kind of Canadian slang, Trailer Traveling, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. I post something on our community tab every day. We do polls. We do a live stream every Wednesday night that you have graced us with your presence on. And we have a lot of fun. A lot of your followers are a lot of the same people that we have in our live stream as well. So
yeah, it's a tight community, the RVing community, and as you know, we met a few weeks ago at the M23 meetup up there in Michigan. And by the way, the young RVers say hello, hey Robert and Gord, which we also met at the M23. I mean, I think half the people here in the chat we met at M23, like Sonia, the RV DJ. So, all right. Well, we're going to start wrapping this one up. Just a little bit of housekeeping, especially for the live audience. Well, before that, Gord, thank you for being here, and let's do it again.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man. And a little bit of housekeeping here. What's going to happen next Thursday, which I usually doing this pre-recorded podcast episodes on Thursday at noon. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. First of all, I want to wish all of you an early Thanksgiving. And we certainly have a lot to be thankful for, being able to travel. And... well, next episode is not going to be live. It's just going to be, for those of you listening on audio on Apple Podcasts, it's going to be exactly the same as always, but there will be no live show. So until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.